You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
No idea dangerous chemicals were being stored at the port. Multiple sclerosis, or MS, in children can cause seizures, headaches, depression, fatigue, cognitive impairment, and lead to significant disability. Dr. Manicom Mudlia with the Cleveland Clinic says new research suggests that exercise may help improve symptoms in kids with MS.
They found that those patients that did strenuous physical activity had much better outcome scores.
Researchers in Toronto looked at 110 children between the ages of 5 and 18 attending a specialized pediatric MS clinic, 31 of which had MS. Results show that children with MS who exercise regularly may have a less active disease than those who don't. Children who reported higher levels of strenuous activity had fewer T2 brain lesions, a type of brain lesion found in kids with MS. Kids in the exercise group also reported lower relapse rates. Dr. Moodley says including exercise as a part of a treatment regimen could be a simple, cost-effective way to significantly impact the lives of children battling chronic diseases like MS.
Simple physical activity, instituting that to patients with chronic illnesses, has really helped.
I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
All right, time for local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com for the Flemington area. It's 85 outside right now. Today, mostly sunny, high in the 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy, low around 66. Tuesday, isolated showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m. Otherwise, sunny, the high in the lower 90s. Tuesday night, isolated showers and thunderstorms possible. Otherwise, partly cloudy, low in the upper 60s. And then into Wednesday, scattered showers and thunderstorms in the morning. Otherwise, sunny with a high near 88. And then again, Wednesday night, scattered showers and thunderstorms possible. And into Thursday, same thing, highs in the 80s and maybe some showers and thunderstorms. Thursday night again, more rain and then clearing up, hopefully after Friday into the weekend. But it looks like from Tuesday or Wednesday on, some rain and then clear for the weekend again. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Hey, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here. Bill Kinslow. I'm a chef at Jake's here in Flemington. Been around for a good 24 years there, a local restaurant. Kind of helping feed the community, as it was. Saturday night we had a benefit for the, it was Parents' Night for the Boosters Club. Parents do a lot. Of course, any of you have kids in youth sports know this. There's a lot of activity going on to make these things possible. Helping the kids, a big time commitment and financial otherwise, but organized sports, whether they're clubs, private or in the school, takes a lot of work with the parents. And we do it once a year. We try to help the Boosters Club by donating percentage of the sales from that night. So it was a good turnout, nice night. People were able to be outside. So another local activity. Speaking of local activities, the Corn Tomato Festival coming up this Sunday, August 23rd. It's rain or shine. VIP ticket entry is from 3 to 4 p.m. and then open to the public from 4 to 6:30. Big crowd last year. Again, rain or shine. It's in the Court Street Park behind the historic courthouse. A number of vendors, local restaurants will be there. Of course, the theme is corn and tomatoes, two good local products that are in full bloom right now. We're going to be featuring Flemington's own brewery now, Conclave Brewery over on Minneconning Road. I just tried the Saison style. Very good. We'll have a couple of the milk stout we'll also have there. We'll have, you know, other local brews available. We're going to make a white sangria with some peaches. Our farmer's just been... Sweet Valley over there has nice peaches right now. And then, of course, we're going to make the Michelada with the Jersey tomatoes. That little spicy, citrusy drink we talked about last week. It could be half Bloody Mary mix and half beer. But we're taking it a little bit beyond that, making a nice mixture of fresh, juiced Jersey tomatoes. So we've got some nice red ripe tomatoes, a lot fresher and not as heavy as a commercial canned tomato juice. So that'll be our part, and hope to see everybody there. Oh, eating the week. What are we doing this week? 17th today, vanilla custard day. Seem to be a lot of desserts in the summer, which I guess makes sense. It's hot out. A lot of ice cream, a lot of fruit. So the vanilla custard, and custard goes into many desserts. Trifle, zuppa, and glaze. We'll dab a little bit with Italian desserts today, seeing as, you know, the letter Z is there, the sauvignon, zuppa, and glaze. We've got custard. The 23rd is sponge cake, which could be a base for a nice trifle or zuppa. Tomorrow, ice cream pie. And then on the 21st is spumoni, which is kind of a layered gelato, another Italian dessert. So we kind of can work off of that. Ice cream pie, of course, people do, Rocky Road, mudslide. They take softened ice cream and smush it into a graham cracker or a chocolate cookie crust, and you can swirl. And we used to do one years ago at the Italian restaurant I worked at. We actually used to make one up in the summertime. So ice cream pie, something different. Let's see, the 19th, hot and spicy food, which probably do well to have some ice cream after that. So it's hot and spicy food day. And we think in the summer, you know, you want something spicy, and actually it does. It makes you perspire a little bit more, helps cool you off. So we'll look at hot and spicy food. The 20th is lemonade, perfect drink in the summer. We'll do a quick fresh lemonade, and there's, of course, many variations of it. I've kind of rediscovered it with the different fruit flavors in it. Let's say the 21st, Spumoni, 22, Eat a Peach Day. And that will go very well with other things, with the custard, hot and spicy food. Maybe we'll construct a peach salsa. We served when we were serving one last week at the restaurant. And the 23rd is sponge cake. So we'll go through a couple of recipes, custards, sponge cake. Of course, using eggs, my favorite food anyway. I think most chefs like eggs. So versatile. Use them in, of course, any course, right from deviled eggs right through dessert. When you get home. And so what else? So it's National Sandwich Month is August, and also National Panini Month, which is the new, seems to be the popular sandwich now. You have a sandwich that we would otherwise maybe make on toast, and you use a flatbread, or we get a special panini bread for some of the ones that Jake's Ciabatta works very nicely, or a apocalypse pita, and those sandwiches are grilled. So you have even something like a sliced chicken and pesto and fresh mozzarella, let's say, and then you grill the outside. It doesn't really heat up the inside so much, but you have that nice grilled bread flavor and texture, and then he's got that hot-cold contrast and pretty neat twist on a sandwich. We're also up to the end of the alphabet with our utensils, and we're running out of steam here at XYZ. Actually going to treat all three letters this week, because there's not that much in each category, unfortunately. Even LaRousse Gastronomique does the same thing. They nice big encyclopedia, and even at their last chapters, they go alphabetically, of course. But XYZ is kind of under one little heading there. So we'll treat it the same way, and we'll wind up with our journey through the alphabet with culinary terms, utensils, and the like. And then see what we start up with next week. So under Z, the utensil I found was a zester, which is, whether it's in the kitchen or even in the bar area, something to take the little peel off the citrus fruit. And the zester, sometimes they're on a handle, a series of small circles. You'll get little tiny strips of the peel, and other ones they're a little larger, some larger ones. Actually, what you want to do is not get too much of the white bitter pith. You have just that skin, and what you do is you twist that, and it releases the oils. That's really where a lot of the flavor is in the citrus. And you're not getting the acid. You're just getting that nice aroma and flavor of the oils. So, say, an orange peel, and you'll see instructions. You'll twist it and then maybe rub the rim of the glass. So every sip, you'll get a little bit of the citrus flavor. We'll do it with the Michelada, we'll do lime. You have lime peel and coat the rim of the glass, then we dip the rim of the glass into the spiced pepper and dehydrated lime mix. So every sip you rotate the glass, and you're sipping the beverage through that flavor that comes out first with the citrus oil or citrus juice, and then the whatever you're coating the glass with. Margaritas, your salt, obviously. Some dessert drinks may caramelize sugar. We've done that. And even the, there's one with the orange peel that you twist it and actually light it, because it's oil, it will burn. And then it kind of releases that aroma and drop it into the drink. We've got a break now at the quarter hour for a couple of messages, and then we'll come back and explore some of our XYZ terms and then some Italian desserts and also snacking. Snacking, I was just reading an article on that. It seems to be the new way of enjoying food. So we'll see what happens. Chef Bill's Table.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Because Rotary believes that by working together, you can do anything. This is District Governor Megan Jones Holt. Learn more about Rotary and join me every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Rotary Hour, the show that is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what Rotary is. Find us on the web at rotarynj.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up, you surely want to exhibit, something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
At the table here, Chef Bill, XYZ. So we're coming down to the wire here, so talk to the zester. XO sauce. You ever hear of that? XO sauce? Sometimes it's originated in Hong Kong in the 80s. I've never had it personally. I was looking it up. I've heard of it before once in a while in a recipe featuring Asian food. Apparently very good in fried rice. Good. It's a very, I guess it's one that when you see the description, you think, ooh, I don't know about that. It's another one of the fermented product. It's uses dried shrimp and dried scallops. Some versions even use some other dried fish in there. And versions we use a Japanese ham. A prosciutto would be a good substitute, something not really smoky but just more cured. And it's one of these that I don't know if it's really hit mainstream. It's one of these little intense flavorings that you can put on vegetables. They say a lot of people like it in a stir-fried rice. Could even use it with seafood. So, and it's normally, I mean, there's recipes to make it, but you have to, it's probably harder to find some of the ingredients, finding the dried shrimp and dried scallops. I saw one person had, given instructions how to dry your own in case you don't trust stuff that's been sitting around dried. But really, that's an old, old method of preservation. So, with the XO sauce, let's see what you have to do. You've got calls for chilies, the dried seafood, some garlic and ginger, and canola oil. And some versions may put a little soy or sesame in it, but the original, I guess, in David Chang's book, Momofuku, the cookbook, gives a pretty decent recipe for it. So you have to rehydrate the dried seafood. And you say, well, why not just use fresh shrimp and scallops? Well, it does, you know, the things go through a change when you dry them out and then rehydrate them. They're going to taste differently than if you just use the fresh product. So you have to come up with, find in your Asian market, the dried seafood. Chilies, your choice. Many of them. There's small red chilies out there. And they say garlic, oil, and ginger. So it's basically you've got to rehydrate the dried seafood, soak it in water overnight. And then you're using your food processor. You're grinding up the seafood, the chili, the ham. Keep the ham separately. You have the seafood separate, you know, the two seafoods together, and then your garlic and ginger, grind it up to, and to, it's all should be as finely pureed as you can get it. And I guess the idea is to start with your oil, your canola oil, and heat the ham a little bit, release the flavor, and then add your other ingredients and let it simmer for, I've seen times from 15 minutes up to 30, 35 minutes. So, sounds like a complex recipe, so probably the first time out, find some and try it, but apparently, again, very nice is just that little kick of intense flavor, probably loaded with umami, that you add to your stir fries. XO sauce. And what else did I have? Oh, yakitori. Use the Y, the Japanese dish. And that kind of leads us into part of discussion today also about snacks. It's the yakitori. It's chicken or other poultry. And not just the white meat, but it could be some liver, some gizzard, you know, skin, anything. Small skewers done over charcoal and normally served with beer or cocktails. It's a little snack. It's not something that's a main dish. So I guess the stands are all over the place. So if you're in the bars, so if you're enjoying a beverage, an adult beverage, let's say, and you'd have a little skewered chicken. Could be light meat, dark meat, as I say, could be liver, could be gizzard, could be anything, heart, all the parts, and it could be other poultry also, but generally considered to be chicken. I think, you know, kebabs, souvlakis, speedies, we've done speedies before, just simple meat skewers, not the combinations of things, just up in southern tier of New York, the speedies are popular, and originally with lamb, now mostly done with pork. Pork makes a great one. We did some at the restaurant, just meat skewers, and then you can add other things, condiments, sauces, vegetables if you like, but the main event is just the protein, and should be done over charcoal. You want that charcoal flavor, you want a little, you know, a little browning going on, and then the sauces you can, or bastes, you can kind of do whatever you want. The yakitori, sometimes is one made with mirin, a little bit of sweet or sweet and sour. You could have something, you know, make up even your own kind of barbecue. Hoisin's very thick. You have to watch that. Anything with sugar content put on at the end, because otherwise it'll burn too much. But yakitori makes a great snack, and we'll talk about snacks later in the show as this way of, seems the millennials. I was just reading an article about it and how it's become another day part for restaurants. So yakitori could be one of the little snacks. Something else with Z, Zabaglione. Zabaglione, or Zabaglione with an S, as it's known in French. Kind of aligns itself. It falls in the custard category. It's basically a wine custard. And see it offered, of course, Italian restaurants would offer it, done tableside. It's warm, served with fruit. Be great with peaches, by the way, or any of the summer berries. That's normally what it's served with. But I've used it as a sauce for fish also. The Sabbione, because you've got what it is basically it's egg yolks and then some kind of liquid wine normally. And there could be spirits added to it also. The classic, of course, is Marsala. But I've made it with white wine. As I say, make it more of a savory one used for fish. Riesling would be great. And the proportion is really what you need to remember. It's one egg yolk for an ounce of wine and a tablespoon of sugar. And then you can multiply it up or down. And what you have to do is blend the wine. And if you're using any extract or flavoring, obviously, you could put it in there. The egg yolk, the sugar, and the wine. And blend it together. Now, you need a warm water bath. And what you'll do is, over the water bath, you'll constantly whisk this. And it'll increase in volume. Get very light. I guess, kind of like when you're starting to make a hollandaise sauce. But actually, you want to whisk this, so you actually want to incorporate some air into it. And actually, that's the same technique we're talking about sponge cake, how to do that today. And so if you learn the one technique, you can have your cake and your filling also. So the Sabbione, again, a lot of times served warm. Used to chill it down and add an equal amount of whipped cream, fold it in, and have a nice Sabbione mousse for dessert. Kind of a quick, easy ice cream type thing. But again, with peaches, summer fruit, as a custard chilled, some chefs will even whip the egg whites and put it back in there to lighten it up. As I say, as a nice light sauce for fish, and again, something, not no wheat or flour or starches in it. Hollandaise, a little rich with the butter, the egg yolk and clarified butter. With this, with the white wine, Sabbione, gives you that, the good mouthfeel of a custard, but not as heavy as with the butter. So, might be something to look into. And of course, zuppa inglese, another Z, if you see that, that's English soup, translates to. The Italian, of course, it was one of our most popular desserts in Italian restaurants. It's kind of like a trifle, if you will. And you'll take, you could take, pound cake, sponge cake would be very nice. Many ways to do this, and it's layered with fruit. So oftentimes we'll put a little, you could put a little fortified wine in there or a little liqueur. Help soak the cake a little bit, or you could make a syrup with the liqueur. And you have it layered now, topped with whipped cream would be nice, but nice version of this would be to have an oven-proof glass, probably a glass or ceramic bowl, with your layer of fruit and custard and cake, and then put some meringue on top and brown it off, and then have something, they have that warm, just kind of like a baked Alaska, you have the chilled fruit custard cake layers, and then brown it off with the egg white and sugar mix on top, the meringue. So, but we'll all this stuff kind of relates between custards and spumoni, sponge cake, peaches, all these things will come together. We're going to break for news at the half hour, and then we'll be back at the table and go through some of these Italian desserts and then talk about snacks.
USA Headline News, I'm Ron Taylor. The death toll is now at 5 after two small planes collided in midair in California. Nick Schuler with the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection tells Fox News that it was a horrible scene.
It appears that it was a very violent crash. Both aircraft are in multiple pieces.
Authorities say the crash happened Sunday near Brownfield Municipal Airport in San Diego.
Rescue teams were on their way to a remote area of Indonesia where search planes today spotted wreckage from an airliner believed to have crashed. The twin turboprop flight was carrying 54 passengers and crew when it lost contact with air traffic controllers yesterday. The wreckage is in a remote mountainous area that's difficult to reach. There is a report that the plane was carrying around $470,000 in government cash for poor families in those remote villages. Aviation experts say a software upgrade may have caused the glitch that canceled or delayed hundreds of flights this weekend. The Federal Aviation Administration believes it's tracked the problem to an upgrade at a radar facility near Washington's Dulles International Airport. The glitch caused more than 400 flights to be canceled. This is USA Headline News.
There are two types of water heaters, thankless and tankless. The thankless kind work like this.
Mom, I'm throwing in a load of laundry.
Whoa, hold off on that. I'm hopping in the shower.
Is this a good time to turn on the dishwasher?
This is not a good time to turn on the dishwasher.
Renai's tankless water heaters, on the other hand, work this way.
I'm throwing in a load of laundry.
No problem. I'm hopping in the shower.
Renai's innovative tankless water heaters provide an endless supply of hot water whenever you need it, even for multiple tasks at the same time. Plus, they feature a space-saving design and ultra-efficient performance for monthly energy savings. So enjoy hot water that's always ready when you are.
Is this a good time to turn on the dishwasher?
Go for it.
And never discourage your children from washing dishes again. Renai tankless water heaters, the hot way to heat water. Learn more about Renai's industry-leading products at www.renai.us. That's RINNAI.US.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill. So peaches. Eat a peach day this week. Mentioned peach salsa. Relatively simple. Of course, we always have the pico available there. What we call our one of the mother sauces that we use, basis for a lot of things. So you basically, no surprises, of course, with the Jersey tomatoes now, or wherever you are, of course, tomatoes should be coming into play. And so some fine diced tomatoes, some, again, cilantro, jalapeno, seeds, you can include them or not, depending on how spicy you want it. Lime juice, a little bit of onion, red onion is normally what we use. What we do is mince these up fairly fine. We use plum tomatoes, take the seeds out, and we we hand chop everything small. Dice would be called brunoise in the classical kitchen. And of course your peaches, to prepare them you need to peel them. You see that blanching and boiling water works well for a little bit, just like you're doing a tomato, and then chill them down in a cool water bath, and then the skin should rub right off. Now, if you have cling peaches, of course, you've got to get the pit out of there. The freestone peaches, of course, the pit will come out much easier. And dice the peaches, add your pico, your tomato, jalapeno, cilantro, lime juice. If the peaches aren't real, real sweet, you may, a little bit of honey would work in that also. Not too much. You don't want to make it like dessert, but you want this to be, great with chicken or pork, obviously, the peach salsa. We did it even with some fish, but I think the poultry, the pork would be great with the peach salsa, even if you're having a grilled lamb. After all, you've got a salsa in the summertime, but if you were trying to preserve them, save them for the winter, you would make probably a chutney out of it. So either way, a little bit of citrus, a little bit of spice, a little bit of sugar. You've got those flavor combinations that really accent your proteins well. Something else we'd like to do, though, is a gratin with hazelnuts. Hazelnuts, the filberts, obviously. You want to try to find those already peeled. If you can't, you have to roast them and rub the peel off. And this one's going to call for roasted hazelnuts, finely ground. Almost like a breadcrumb consistency. So we're doing a gratin. So this is something in a heavy oven at 400. We're going to warm the fruit up a little bit. So we want 3/4 pound of peaches, and of course we're going to peel them and slice them. You're going to need 2.5 tablespoons of granulated sugar, a tablespoon of Frangelico, the hazelnut liqueur, and 1.5 teaspoons of lemon juice. Now, you just take 1.5 tablespoons of that sugar with the peaches, Frangelico, and lemon juice, toss them together, and this will make enough in a couple of nice little gratin dishes. Lay the peaches in there, and then what we'll do is we're going to melt 1/4 cup of butter, unsalted, and the remaining tablespoon of sugar, and then add 1/2 cup of coarse fresh white breadcrumbs, not dried ones. You can do that, just take crust off the bread. You can pulse it lightly in your food processor if you want. So you want coarse, fresh breadcrumbs, and then 1/2 cup of ground toasted hazelnuts. So you'll toss that with that warm butter and sugar, and then that's your kind of your crumble topping. That would be what you sprinkle over your peaches, and just warm them up in the oven. Just enough to toast the crumbs there, and you've got a nice, quick peach gratin. Amaretto also works well with peaches. We've done grilled peaches on salads. I mean, work very well. They're difficult. You've got to make sure they're ripe, and oftentimes you have to let them ripen a little bit, and then that short window of when they're ripe, and then when they start to turn south on you, get a little too soft. Alright, now for our sponge cake, and again, with peaches, if you wanted to make a shortcake, of course, a sponge would be a nice base for it. Classic would be biscuits, but if you like cake, oftentimes in the stores you have those little round sponge cakes that are always seem to be located near the strawberries for some reason, the little things with a little well in them. You could make your own sponge cake cupcakes if you want. But sponge cake, just like your sabayon, you're warming up eggs over a water bath. And the thing with the sponge cake, your leavening is air. It's not, there's no baking powder or baking soda or anything like that in it. So you've got 6 large eggs, room temperature, 3/4 cup of sugar, and 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract. So you're going to whisk these together. You're going to warm them over a simmering water bath for about 30 seconds. You just want to make sure that they're room temperature and beyond a little bit. You're not trying to cook them. You're just trying to warm them up. You could do this in your mixing bowl for your stand mixer. Now, what you have to do is you're going to be off the heat. You're going to beat this mixture for at least a good 10 minutes. And when they say, the recipe says lemon-colored yellow, that's what they mean. You want it very, very light color. It should be about triple the volume that you started with. Now, this is going to make 2 8-inch cake pans, 8-inch rounds. So you have 2 layers. You want to use soft butter and flour to prepare the pans, which means you're going to rub the cool butter over the surface of the pan. And then what I do is you put some flour in there and kind of shake it around, just dust it with the flour, and then dump out any excess. Your oven needs to be at 350 degrees. You don't need a real, real hot oven for this. So you've got this egg mixture that you're beating. You need 1 cup of flour, and it could be 2/3 all-purpose, 1/3 cake flour if you want, or you could use just all-purpose flour. And then 6 tablespoons of unsalted butter that's been melted, not browned, but just melted, set off to the side. You could melt it in the microwave. So after you have this egg mixture nice and fluffy, you have to fold in the flour. And the best way, of course, you're going to measure it first, and then if you use a sifter or even a basket strainer, a fine mesh basket strainer, you'll kind of sprinkle the flour, and you're going to fold it in with the rubber spatula, that folding motion where you're you're scraping the bottom of the bowl, bringing product from the bottom up over the top. And you're using a circular motion for this. So you don't want to really whisk it in too much. You're just trying to gently fold in the flour. You don't want to activate any gluten in the flour and get it too strong. So you fold in the flour, and then the melted butter the same way goes in at the end. Fold it in. So you have your 2 prepared cake pans, 350 oven, 20 to 25 minutes is what it takes. And then you'll have nice sponge cakes. There's many uses for sponge. As I say, you can make individuals. You can make your jelly rolls from them. Really nice, easy homemade cake recipe to have in your repertoire. Especially if you know, all of a sudden, oh, I need to do something and I don't have the cake mix or whatever. This one, you can always pull this one off. And sometimes they're flavored. You could use some nut flour in there instead of just the all-purpose. You can make chocolate. There's chestnut. There's flavor the sponge cake, too, if you want. But definitely for these layered dishes, you can use it in your soup and glaze, your trifle. As I say, if you make the in a jelly roll pan, you can put a filling in there. The classic would be the sponge cake with some kind of jam, little layers, and then dusted with powdered sugar. Just a little kind of snack to serve with tea. Your snacks can be sweet also. And then finally with the spumoni, if you want to try this, there's actually I saw a version of this. You could do a spumoni cheesecake. You could do 3 layers of cheesecake and maybe a graham or a chocolate crust, but it's really gelato. You want to do it in you could do individuals layered, or you could do it in a bowl. So it's what you call a bomba, B-O-M-B-E. And generally you're going to have the red, the cherry gelato, and then pistachio. You want the green, and of course a vanilla or a custard, the white or pale yellow. You want, the Italian flag, right? And you can use softened gelato, and you layer the bowl, put it back in the freezer, then take the second layer that in, and then your third in the center. You could have nuts, you could have dried fruits, You could probably, you know, to complement your cherry gelato, you might have some dried cherries in there, the pistachio. You may put a few chopped pistachios in there. So, spumoni or, you know, a layered cheesecake, or do it like an ice cream pie, one of the other food holidays this week. Layer three layers of gelato in an ice cream pie and enjoy it. We've got a break for a couple of messages. We'll be back at the table.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Back at the table here, winding down another Monday. Oh, lemonade, also part of the festivities this week. And I found in Ms. DeShane's book the suggests using maple syrup to sweeten lemonade with. Sounds like a good idea. Take a cup of lemon juice, and you know, if you're going to make your own, squeeze the lemons. I guess you could use the We use a pasteurized one, you know, it comes in a little quart milk type container, preserves a little bit more of that citrus. You can get the shelf stable juice, the little ones that are shaped, you know, little green bottles, or the ones that are shaped like lemons. But really, if you're gonna do lemonade, might as well use fresh lemon juice. So you need a cup of lemon juice, and then a third of a cup of maple syrup. Again, use real stuff. Don't buy table syrup or pancake syrup. And then 2 teaspoons of grenadine. So this makes a pink lemonade. And then 3 cups of water. And you really have to whisk this well together. You want to dissolving the maple syrup in there because, you know, it's different density. A little different than trying to dissolve sugar. But really gives it a whole different flavor. As I said, I've kind of flavored lemonades, something, you know, you have blackberry, strawberry, you know, different fruits that just that little tinge of extra fruit flavor with the lemonade. And of course the combo, the lemonade and iced tea is always nice. Also, flavored iced teas, flavored teas, big beverage category, finding people kind of going away from the everything carbonated. Get back to something. Tea is easy to make. Lemonade or limeade. Like that also with limes. Anything, something a little fresher and not as processed. You don't need all those bubbles. You don't need all that corn syrup. Use natural sweeteners and fresh juice. Make yourself some nice summer beverages. So snacking, so a couple of things that we've talked about, the yakitori, that's what kind of reminded me about snacks. And then I was reading in a trade magazine about the younger people, how they're, you could see it in the, bars, even the drive-through places, trying to, like that mid-afternoon. I don't know. It just seems more meal occasions are out there. And, of course, we got to watch, with all this food available, we kind of have to watch how much we eat. But I think snacking, smaller portions, probably, I guess they say that's a wiser way to eat. Have several small meals a day instead of two or three big ones. Or it could be just eat when you're hungry. And if you're not hungry, don't eat anything. If you're hungry, stop, but just have a few bites. Doesn't have to be a big formal ordeal. I know there are a couple of higher profile restaurants. They're starting to look at the fact, and I think chefs, we were around food so much, and we like to try different things. So do you really need to sit down and eat that, that 14 or 16 ounce steak or prime rib? It seems, some ways, of course, our portions have grown over the years. And now it seems as just as these portions are hitting this, the sizes that unheard of 20 or 30 years ago. It seems now people are looking to do smaller. I know it's happening in the with cocktails now, mini cocktails. People, they got big, they're strong. A lot of alcohol, people, I don't want that much. I just want to taste something. And also what happens is, my owner and I, we were talking about this yesterday, your palate gets kind of jaded. After about six or eight bites of something, now, the first few bites are delicious, you're enjoying it, you're analyzing, whatever you're doing, tasting it. But after about, eight or nine bites, your palate gets jaded. It's like more of the same. And I know the food manufacturers try to make something that you want to keep eating more of, but really find snacks as a category on the menu. You're going to start seeing more. We've for the longest time at Jake's gave up calling things appetizers. Most appetizers really aren't appetizers. They're small plates or they're just casual food. We call them nibbles and noshes, and now I'm seeing that name kind of pop up on there are other restaurants figuring out, like, these are just something you can have any time. And you could make a meal out of two or three of them if you like. Or you could just have one and move on. I know that the restaurants try to encourage frequency, people stopping in. And, of course, in the city areas, it works very well. And with people's wacky schedules now, do you get locked into that, 7 o'clock breakfast and 12 o'clock lunch and 6 o'clock dinner? It's whether you're a parent with school-aged children and have activities, or you're working in professions, whose hours expand beyond that. You're in essential services. Your shift changes all the time. Look at breakfast. Everybody, most people grab it on the go. People aren't sitting home cooking breakfast. Everything is on the go. Just something quick, something to get the sugar flowing, get the calories going. A lot of, of course, the coffee, get the caffeine, get the mind going. And it's generally eaten on the run. But snacks, I know when we get together with my family up north, even around here, Christmas time, Christmas, I just put everything out at once. And there's hot, cold, room temperature. And I tell people, take what you want when you want. You don't have to start with soup. You want to eat dessert first, eat dessert first. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter. But what we did this summer, a couple of times we did it, a progressive dinner, but we would put things out in small batches. Instead of having the big, you're doing a cookout and, you have everything hit the table at once. You're trying to coordinate everything. And you're like, we want to relax. We don't want to work that hard. So it started off, say, with your vegetables and dips, the fruits, cheese, crackers, whatever, chips, and you have a bunch of those out. And people, you stop, you're talking, whatever, reacquainting somebody you haven't seen in a while. Just something casual to get started. Take the edge off. You don't want to sit down and eat a whole bunch of food. Funny, you don't want to eat food on an empty stomach. Really, if you eat too much rich food on an empty stomach, you could have some backlash there. Might not feel that comfortable. And then a little while later, you know, of course, you bring out, you know, all right, let's get the chicken tenders out. Let's do a couple of other things. You know, maybe that's when you do the hot dogs. Corn, sweet corn, as far as I'm concerned, could be served anytime as its own course. Not necessarily with something. Just corn's done. Get your butter, your cheese, whatever you want to put on it, and just enjoy the ear of corn. And then you move on. So the activity lasted all afternoon, which was nice. You know, people are hanging out, swimming, you know, playing instruments, you know, guitars, whatever. The main event, you know, some nice, grilled steak or shrimp or something, that came out towards the end. You know, and it's, again, people just had what they wanted. You know, if some hot dogs were there and you didn't want a hot dog, don't have it. There's some people, you want a half, you don't want a roll. Just eating very casually over several hours was really the best way for camaraderie. And you don't really end up with that overload, filling up, sitting down and eating till you can't eat anymore, and then all of a sudden you want to take a nap. So snacks, good things to have on hand. I know, especially if, you know, kids get home after school. I know the TV ads, of course, will tell you to grab something out of the freezer and throw it in the microwave, which is fine, I guess. But I don't know if you need a steady diet of that. But always, I know, stop at my mother's house. There's always some fresh vegetables cut. There's always some fruit. You have a couple of, you know, little hunks of cheese or something. There's always nuts. There's, a dip, some kind of, a flatbread or a cracker. And it doesn't always have to be potato chips and onion dip. It could be hummus. It could be, other things, a tapenade, you know, different things that get out of the norm. But these are all things that can be kept on hand. And anytime you want a little nibble or a nosh, you just grab it. And it, you know, yes, there's, in the restaurants, of course, there's hot items. We have people that sit down, especially in the fall when we do Oktoberfest. I just run the individual sausages, you know, $3 a piece, $3, $4, depending, a little tiny bit of garnish with it and maybe a dipping sauce. And that's all people want. I'm having a wine or a beer, and I want just a few bites of something. Or people take a couple of items and make a meal out of it. Charcuterie is always nice. You think of other cultures, Spain, probably 5 meal occasions a day. The tapas in the afternoon, all little bites of things that many of them that could be made ahead. Doesn't have to be always last minute. And if you are hungry, you have a little bit, but you don't have to sit down and eat till you're full, because you know you're going to eat again in a couple of hours, and probably it's a better way to do it. So we're going to sign off for now. Remember the Corn and Tomato Festival. Sue from ShopRite is next. 100andchamberradio.com. Chef Bill signing off, and we'll start a new adventure next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. The death toll is now at 5 after two small planes collided in midair in California. Nick Schuler with the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection tells Fox News that it was a horrible scene.
It appears that it was a very violent crash. Both aircraft are in multiple pieces.
Authorities say the crash happened Sunday near Brownfield Municipal Airport in San Diego. Rescue teams were on their way to a remote area of Indonesia where search planes today spotted wreckage from an airliner believed to have crashed. The twin turboprop flight was carrying 54 passengers and crew when it lost contact with air traffic controllers yesterday. The wreckage is in a remote mountainous area that's difficult to reach.
There is a report that the plane was carrying around $470,000 in government cash for poor families and those remote